I'm disappointed in the slow response. I'm also a person, unlike most of the members, who has actually been working in the trenches in healthcare and understand the challenges that everyone is going through.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, my conversation with New York State Assemblyman John McDonald, a Democrat from the 108th District. He's a pharmacist who's been working on the COVID-19 vaccine rollout, and he was also on that famous phone call with the governor's top aide and health commissioner last week, when for the first time, Secretary to the Governor Melissa DeRosa blamed the slow distribution of nursing home death information on a DOJ probe. We spoke about that, the vaccine, and much more on Thursday afternoon.
So the conversation with the majority members in both houses, I thought, was an attempt to, re-engage relationship with the legislature. It was an opportunity for people like myself and others to express our anguish with the fact that information that we've been looking for the past few months has not been provided to us. I can tell you that the conversation was vigorous. There's no doubt about that. We are trying to get answers for those who've lost loved ones. And, my conversation back and forth with Dr. Zucker, which is well documented now, got into the technical aspects of where the barriers were. I can't say that they were unreasonable in regards to the challenges they faced. But at the end of the day, we still were very frustrated by not having the information. And, to their credit, they recognize that. They know that they could have done better. And at the same token, it's not lost on me, like many others, that this is hopefully a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic that has really put a tremendous strain on the Department of Health and other agencies throughout the state. And although it's not acceptable, there is some understanding that there were some legitimate barriers that we're really slowing the process down. And then compounded by that, as been well documented, is that there was inquiries by the Department of Justice that were brought up during that meeting that also forced the administration to put the legislative request aside as they could focus their energies on the Department of Justice request, which that I understand. I mean, at the end of the day, if the Department of Justice comes knocking at your door, you better open it and you better respond. And that's what they told us they were doing.
Did you accept that as an excuse, though, for why the data was not given to the public or the legislature, even at the same time or before that? It's not like, I mean, people were looking for those numbers well before that DOJ probe emerged.
So, as I mentioned earlier, Dr. Zucker and I, and you can read it, got engaged in the technical aspects of why there was a delay in that information. And they were painstakingly going through each and every death certificate to really provide accurate information, because that's what families want. Once again, I'm not happy about it. I don't accept that, if that's what you're asking. But I actually recognize the fact that, the Department of Health is now more than knee-deep. We're 9 to 10 weeks into the vaccine response, and that's more critical or just as critical as getting that information. So there's a lot of different things moving on. Depending on your perspective, we'll figure out where you want to look at this issue. I just find it mind-boggling that we're at this stage of the game, and I just want the information so we can review it and figure out what the next steps would be. Because the families are hurting, they need to have answers. And just as importantly, we need to be prepared, because we don't know if this is going to happen again, but we've got to learn from the past and move forward with the future.
You had said it was an overdue conversation. Was that the first call you were on of this kind during the pandemic with them?
Yes, to answer that question, yes.
And is that unusual compared to before pandemic times? Because this has been almost a year now.
Well, it's been a year since the pandemic started. The call for the information was in the summer of last year. So it's been 6 months. There's no doubt about that. That's still a long period of time, but it's not a year by any stretch.
No, I just mean, the pandemic's been going on for a year, but before that, I mean, did you have times to get on calls with the governor or as people on any number of issues in the past? Because it seems notable that it took a long time to get this particular call together.
Well, the call was actually, at the request of the administration. You know, we weren't looking to have the meeting. We were looking to get the information. The administration thought it was important to have the meeting to spend some time walking the legislature through what the administration was dealing with throughout this whole process to explain where we are at with the data and where, you know, so that we could get the answers we were looking for.
Have they lost your trust to any degree?
I'm disappointed in the slow response. I'm also a person, unlike most of the members, who has actually been working in the trenches in healthcare and understand the challenges that everyone is going through.
We should say, just for people who are listening, you're a pharmacist when you're not in the legislature, and you've been part of the vaccine rollout and so on.
Right, but I've been, you know, involved on many different things throughout this whole process. You know, it's like anything else. They're not usually worthy of press releases. It's worthy of having a conversations with DOH officials and SED officials, because the health professions are involved. And, you know, the department itself and the administration have really dealt with a lot of unique situations over the course of this pandemic, things that are, I would guess, fall into the category of unprecedented. And many of them they've addressed completely and very well. And there's a few where they've not performed to the level that was acceptable. And that's why we continue to press forward on getting the accurate information that we're looking for. So, you know, have I lost trust? I that's a difficult situation. That's a difficult way to, that's a difficult question for me to answer, because the people I'm dealing with on a multitude of issues, they've done a very good job. On this particular issue, it has really caused a lot of anguish for a lot of the members and a lot of those who we represent. But, you know, I can't judge people on one moment in time. I have to look at the totality of their work.
Absent new hearings, but coming out of that call the other day, what questions specifically do you still have about, you know, the state's oversight of the pandemic and what we know and what we don't know?
Yeah, and by the way, we should, you know, for everyone who's listening, recognize that the pandemic's not over by any stretch of the imagination. And anybody who thinks it is, it's not. You know, this will be going well into the end of this year, if not into next year, in some form or notion. So I think that's something we need to keep that in proper perspective. We really can't let our guard down. In regards to unanswered questions, you know, from my perspective, yeah, there's questions I have that went into the decision-making process of the order given on March 25th of last year that dealt with the readmission of COVID-positive patients from the hospital back into nursing homes. I want to know more about that. There's a lot of little intricate details that I think are, at least from a healthcare professional's perspective, are important for me to know. And, you know, let's be very clear, Ian, this issue has happened in other states as well. It's not that it's only New York. That being said, I'm responsible for what goes on in New York, and that's what I'm focusing on. I also am, just like everybody else, frustrated that, you know, we've been asking for this data. The Empire Center has been doing a, you know, FOIL request that was months in the making, and everything suddenly appeared the day of, or several hours after the Attorney General released the report. So from my perspective, we need some more information on that. Overall, we need accountability and transparency for everybody, and that's a critical part of this process.
And that brings me to the next question, which is, from my understanding, the Assembly is supposed to conference early next week to talk about the possibility of rolling back some of these emergency powers that were granted to Governor Cuomo last winter. You have published an essay that I read, very interesting, in CivMix about whether it's a good idea to do that full bore, because during this pandemic, there have been a lot of streamlined activities that you might not want to take away. So I guess to begin with, you know, what are your concerns about how this might play out now? And do you think it's a good idea to take another look at what emergency powers were granted to Governor Cuomo?
So I firmly support restricting the governor's emergency powers, but I am not the one who's going to be saying take them all back, because as you rightly point out, and I have publicly posted on CivMix, there are many good directives that have come forward that normally wouldn't be in law that have been used to help, particularly in regards to the vaccination effort and the overall pandemic response. So, you know, I use the expression we need to take a surgeon's scalpel to this. And I say that with the knowledge of being one of the few healthcare professionals in the legislature. I get the, you know, everyone likes to make these rally cries, take it back, take it back, take it back. And I understand that. I really do. At the same token, I think we need to be very thoughtful about what we're actually asking for. And that's why the members of the legislature have been spending the last month or so reminding and looking and reviewing of what actually the governor already has, what authority he already has, which he can just go back to doing them every 30 days, because that's in the Constitution. That's long before Governor Cuomo. It's long before many other governors. On the other hand, we need to look at opportunities where we can be effective and be helpful. I think what's been frustrating to many people over the past year is that there were many, many, many parties impacted negatively by COVID-19. And there are many individuals who really were working hard to reopen their businesses, to get to see their loved one in a nursing home, and really willing to do all the right things. And, you know, the department, being overwhelmed as it was not able to respond to those things as quickly as we would have liked. They responded to most, but not all. And I think we need to be able to be involved in pushing that dialogue along, as long as we're not jeopardizing public health.
What will that look like? From what I've gathered and what Andrea Stewart-Cousins said to our Capitol correspondent, Karen DeWitt, it's going to be some sort of bipartisan, bicameral commission that reviews the executive powers. Is that right, to your understanding?
So I haven't looked at the Senate's proposal. Matter of fact, I don't think it's been, I think there's been a press release on it, but there's been no language. So it's hard to comment directly on that. However, you know, there are talented individuals in both houses, on both sides of the aisle, that can bring reasoned dialogue to the solution. And I think that's what we should be focusing on. How that actually, what form it takes, that's something that I know, you know, we're back in conference on Monday morning, and we will be having those discussions, and I expect them to be strenuous, but also educational.
I want to ask you about COVID-19 a little bit. How is the vaccine rollout going in your shop? What are you seeing?
You know, it's interesting. 4 weeks ago, we received, over a two-week period, 300 doses. And within 48 hours, those 300 doses were administered. I am waiting for the second dose, which is supposed to be administered this evening, and it still hasn't shown up. And that's because of the weather in the Lexington, Kentucky, and Texas area that has slowed down the process. I was supposed to receive those second dose vaccination efforts last Thursday, and I waited 4 days, never came. I have been in communication with the Department of Health regularly. And by the way, I should reference this. Throughout this pandemic, and particularly now during the vaccination effort, the Department of Health staff has been responding and calling on emails at every single hour of the day, well into the early morning, and on every single day of the week. They are doing a yeoman's job of trying to address our concerns in the healthcare community. And I give them a lot of credit, which is kind of feeds into my comments earlier, because I do see this a little bit differently because I'm actually boots on the ground and see this. We still are frustrated that I have now had to postpone. It's only 20 people. And move them to Saturday. I'm just hoping I don't need to do the same thing tomorrow. But it's out of the controls of the state of New York. This is truly at the distribution level, at the national level, and this is not pointing a finger. It's just stating the fact that there's been some wretched winter weather going on out there, and it has actually slowed down the process. And I got to tell you, and what's been kind of cool is every individual I talked to and called, or my staff called, they firmly understood. They're very keenly aware, and they're willing to, you know, they'll be glad. They'll be here Saturday at 11 o'clock, hopefully, to get their vaccine, and that's what I hope is going to happen. But what's been frustrating, too, is I have not received any new doses in 3 weeks now, going up four. And that is a little bit frustrating to me. I know that, you know, listen, there's a lot of hands in this little 8-inch pie, and the pie really only has enough food for maybe 2 inches. You know, as I've been saying to people quite long, you know, now it's probably we have 2 vaccines for every 7 people. You know, this rollout, there was a small amount of vaccine available. And the pool of which it was going to be available to grew from 1.5 million to 4 million to 7 million in a span of 2 weeks. That's the problem. And it's unfortunate it happened, but you can't put the tube back in the toothpaste on that. So we have to work through the process and try to do it fairly and equitably. I've been working today. I spent some time down in the south end of Albany at one of the churches. The College of Pharmacy was able to secure 100 doses, and we went out and vaccinated many individuals in the minority community, because we know that, unfortunately, with the technology, we know with the ability to access, people are being left behind, and we don't want that to happen. We want everybody to come along and be vaccinated in a fair and equitable manner.
Have you been able to take it yourself yet?
I was able to do that. As one who is vaccinating, it's required that we actually be vaccinated. So I just finished up my second dose.
And did you have any of those famous side effects from the second dose? How are you feeling?
So I've never had a sick day in my 35-year working career. However, I will tell you this. I went home around 5 o'clock and went to bed, because it's very rare that I actually get sick, but I needed to rest a little bit. But I'm fine and happy to be back at work.
Just last thing, you're really well known, especially in Cohoes. You were a mayor of the city before. Are people like coming out of the woodwork trying to get on a list and hitting you up for favors, knowing that there is such a limited supply of the vaccine?
Many people are reaching out looking for guidance. And when I explain to people the priorities that we are required to follow, they fully understand and have been totally respectful. We all share a common goal to get everybody vaccinated. And what has been really important to me is that we are slowly but surely getting back to the prioritization of the elderly, 75 and above, and also the developmentally disabled, who really got squeezed and got caught and lost for a little bit. We did a great thing yesterday. Almost 400 individuals were vaccinated at the Center for Disability Services for individuals who fall into the IDD population. And I think that speaks volumes to the fact that everyone is local. We're all working together, and we're making sure that everyone is given the opportunity fairly and equitably, but we try to work with the original priority, which is, I think, important, because you know, individuals living in congregate housing, whether it's, you know, low-income subsidized senior housing, in you know, whether it's in Cohoes or Albany or Waterville, whether it's an individual living in a residential facility with 8 or 10 other folks, they are more prone to spread or transmit the disease. And therefore, we need to be, you know, we need to try to get to them first. And, you know, the other individuals who are homebound, Craig Apple, working through the executive order that I talk about, is going out doing house calls.
That's the sheriff of Albany County, yeah.
Yes, yeah. And I think that's a good example of, you know, why these executive orders have to be really looked at closely. But kudos to Greg. Kudos to Mohawk Ambulance, who is taking this opportunity to immunize the masses one house at a time.
New York State Assemblyman John McDonald, a Democrat from the 108th District. Thank you so much for taking us through it, and stay safe.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. If you want a little background on this conversation with Assemblyman John McDonald, go back one episode and check out my interview with John Campbell from the USA Today Network for a good overview. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.